It's not amateur hour out there. Mm-hmm. You know, what they are defending against are increasingly sophisticated.
Yes.
There truly has been a development in how sophisticated the threats are and the attackers.
In a world where every device is communicating, we're no longer concerned only with connection, but protection. Welcome to Securely Connected Everything, your gateway to understanding the intertwined worlds of connectivity and security. We have a great conversation today, so stick around and we'll jump right in. Today, we're talking all things Cisco security with Corinne Vermark, the Director of Cybersecurity for ANZ. Corinne, welcome.
Thank you very much.
For the listeners, maybe you could give a quick introduction to your role as Director of Cybersecurity at Cisco and your journey that led you to that position at Cisco.
Thank you. So, yes, as the Director for Cyber, I sometimes say to people that are not in the know from technology, I'm really fortunate to lead a team of specialists that hope to help our clients better understand how our technology can protect them. Mm-hmm. That's really a short summary. It's obviously on the ground a lot more complex than that.
Sure.
You know, clients and Cisco clients more specifically have come a long way in understanding that in this resource poor world, they've got to do more with their technology. Mm-hmm. And Cisco has been a long time technology partner to most large organizations. Mm-hmm. So now to have been given the opportunity to also secure the networks that we've built for four decades now, is a great opportunity for me and my extended team. My team stretches across two countries, Australia and New Zealand. And they are supported by a team of highly skilled engineers. Mm-hmm. And we are very fortunate to engage our clients on a day-to-day basis to understand what their challenges are, what their business challenges are, and ultimately help them understand how our technology can buckle those challenges, if I can say
Sure. And how long have you been at Cisco, and how long have you been in the director role?
So I've been in the director role since January, and I've been with Cisco for 5 years. First of September was 5 years. And coming back to your question of, you know, how did the journey go for me?
Yes.
I'm a unique individual, as I don't have a long-standing career with vendors.
Okay.
I really started my cybersecurity journey. Mm-hmm. I sometimes message it as boots on the ground, you know, having done some forensic work, having done a lot of cyber operational work. I got given an opportunity to translate that knowledge on behalf of a vendor. And in the initial days, I remember it quite fondly. I wanted to understand really where Cisco is going as a security organization first. And I was really excited when I saw the initial strategy, and that was 5 years ago, and we've come a far way in the last 5 years on that strategy. And now where we are now excites me the most, I think. But I've used my many years in cybersecurity to really understand and also build my team and understanding empathetically, because it's my true belief that the days where we consult and or sell into an industry like security, where we don't really contribute and have an empathetic understanding of the challenges, is no longer there. You know, at least when I speak to our customers, and earlier today I met with one of our customers, Chief Information Security Officer, they're looking for partnership.
Yes.
And I think the days have dawned on us where we are expected to be partners to our clients in assisting them on this technology journey.
It's good to know that, you know, you've been boots on the ground, which is important, right, from a strategy leadership point of view, that you've actually got the scales on your back to understand the challenges. And off the back of that, you know, your time at Cisco and prior to that, being boots on the ground, how have you seen the cyber landscape shift, you know, at your time at Cisco in the 5 years, but also over your time in cyber as a whole?
So that's a great question. I think the industry has shifted dramatically mm-hmm. over the last 5 years at least. Mm-hmm. But if we take a longer view on that, you mm-hmm. know, initially cybersecurity became this discipline that almost was a, I want to say a sideshow.
Yes.
A sideshow to what we did within a technology realm.
Yes.
However, it has gone through this transformation where this sideshow ultimately became very much perceived as a blocker because it was heavily entrenched by regulations and audits and compliance. And the cyber team, I would say around 5 to 8 years ago, really, really challenged their own technology teams. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And almost became, I remember the days very fondly when one of my mentors messaged and said, you know, the cyber team is just the business inhibitors.
That's right, that's right.
And I maybe remember it not so fondly because it really dawned on me that there's a mind shift that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And what I find quite interesting is over the last 3 years, I would say, I've seen a bit of that mind shift happening. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cyber teams, security teams are becoming influencers within their business. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have to influence users, why do I have to use multi-factor authentication? And why do I have to change my password all the time? And it's dawned on them that they really have to bring their users along on this journey. But they also play a critical role in the infrastructure and technology conversations. We've moved away from them only consuming the logs that all of the technology that we implement generate.
Yes.
To really actively defending our organizations. Mm-hmm. And that has put a different emphasis on mm-hmm. it. So mm-hmm. I've seen a great shift in the industry, and I think when I deal with clients and as of late mm-hmm. In 2023 in Australia, it's no longer a conversation of if, mm-hmm. but when. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that all of the information security officers share with me on a day-to-day basis and with my team mm-hmm. is that it's not amateur hour out there. Mm-hmm. You know, what they are defending against
yes.
are increasingly sophisticated.
Yes.
Now, there's a play on the word sophistication when we look at how the media reports it, mm-hmm. but there truly has been a development in how sophisticated the threats are mm-hmm. and the attackers.
From a Cisco point of view, two areas I'd like to talk on is what is Cisco seeing, you know, holistically as the most significant security trends, you know, impacting the industry. And I know you guys cover all industries, so I know it's pretty broad, and happy for you to drill into any particular one. But what are you seeing the impact there, really the most significant security trend?
So I don't think there's only one that comes to mind.
Sure, that's okay.
I would want to say that there's three what we call macro trends mm-hmm. in the security industry mm-hmm. at the moment. Mm-hmm. The one is we've arrived at a point where we acknowledge that we will never have enough people.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, good point.
Nobody that I speak to in the industry say that I have ample staff and I've got some CVs to spare if you needed some.
Well, that'd be nice.
We are all chasing in a highly competitive skills war mm-hmm. Resourcing. Now, what that means as a mega trend for us as technologists is that we effectively need to do more with less.
Yes.
So there's a massive ask on us as technologists to simplify what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But so do the clients, our clients, the organizations that we try and defend needs to simplify what they're doing, mm-hmm. you know. And out of that, there's obviously a few trends that we may dive into a little bit deeper. That how do we use artificial intelligence mm-hmm. to really mm-hmm. only raise high fidelity incidents?
Yes, yes.
Critical vulnerabilities, mm-hmm. those kind of things where we can use the eyes that we have on screen mm-hmm. to really be smart resourcing. So that would be the one mega trend
okay.
that
okay.
I identify. The second one would be this multi-cloud reality.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what the Gartners and the analysts of the world are reporting, most large organizations use in excess of 5 different public cloud providers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that effectively means that this software world that we're endeavoring is posing us with quite a challenge, because we are now not securing any single data center. We've got workloads moving around public cloud infrastructure pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And that really comes back to how do we protect against that?
Yes.
And that is a mega trend that's not going away.
Yes.
Some more mature organizations are consolidating the amount of cloud instances that they utilize.
Yes, yes.
But there are, unfortunately, instances, and there's a few that we can mention: SAP, Oracle, and all of those long-standing technology vendors to organizations that is not rendered in a single instance. So, so whatever your move to cloud is, there will always be a few outliers. So, the second trend is then, we've arrived at this point of multi-cloud.
Yes, yes.
And then the last point is we are challenged by hybrid work, and the post-pandemic world has really put the power in the hand of the employee to say, I want to work from home.
Yes.
And I want to work flexible. Mm-hmm. And I want to work remotely. And I want to be able to have the same access rights from a hotel room, or whether I choose to work on an extended holiday out of Bali, or whether I want to do it from home. And that poses our technology operators with a big challenge.
Yes.
So during COVID, we had to respond in a near knee-jerk reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody was sent home, and we had to re-engineer the way we terminated connections into the then known. But this is now the status quo.
Yes.
And HR research is showing that somebody will settle for a job with a lesser income bracket but more flexibility.
Yes.
So that's quite unique, which means the employee is really, really putting a value on the work-life balance, earning their commute, really having the ability to be a little bit more flexible.
Mm.
Now, that means as technologists in organizations, we need to now go and solidify the way we knew things to be working for millennia.
Yes, yes.
I want to almost say. So that securing the user is the third mega trend. And I just want to, as an exit thought on that, say that the user is also the biggest cohort of opinionated technology users, you know. So not only do we have to bring them along on this journey, but we need to remove friction for them. And that's one of our big challenges is, how do we remove friction? Does the user need to always have a VPN on, or do they have to multi-factor authenticate for everything that they do? How do we reduce the friction, but ultimately ensure that they are working safely from wherever?
Yes.
And they are quite opinionated about that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
As soon as they have to, if they have multiple hoops to jump to be able to get access to their work, they make sure to voice that.
Yes.
And as internal participants to our technology, they are ultimately our clients. So, you know, we stand at their orders almost.
That's right. It's interesting how it's going to continue to learn. And talking on the AI and all that, and the generative AI component, the ChatGPT of the world, et cetera, what is Cisco doing or looking at in relation to not just the AI engines to help improve security? And we know that that's really helping in SOC analysis and all that. But is there a kind of a vision around asking security context questions of the system and getting, you know, usable responses back? Is that on the roadmap of vision or not considered yet?
So AI is a massive focus for us in security at the moment. There's two parts to it. The first part to it is that we are at a place where the market is really demanding this concept called dynamic policy decision. And again, I want to tease that out into a use case a little bit to say, that quote that I use to say, if everything is normal, step out the way.
Mm-hmm.
If your policy is dynamic enough to pick up that all of a sudden this domain or this user is accessing sensitive information off a never seen before access point,
mm-hmm.
the policy can actually inflict a verification process.
Right,
to say, you know what, we've never seen you use this access point at Starbucks. I like to use the example of a coffee shop.
Sure.
We've never seen this access point before.
Yep.
We would like to for you to re-authenticate.
Yeah, fair enough.
But when things are normal, you don't have to verify necessarily. So that dynamic nature of policies puts a high reliance on how the system makes decisions on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And that we do tremendously well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to your earlier point, we have really plumbed the networks for so long, we probably have the vastest amount of visibility.
Mm-hmm.
In that, we have the ability to look at those policy decisions dynamically, and we empower security teams to set the perimeters of those policy decision-making points.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if you're a financial administrator and you change location or you log off or the session is more than 4 hours, we ask you to re-verify.
Mm-hmm.
That means the user can operate within that dynamic policy realm,
mm-hmm.
and they will only be frustrated with a second verification if their environment changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a massive shift for a user in general, you mm-hmm. know. So that's the one part where we see AI already embedded and on the floor.
Right.
We have a tremendously ambitious roadmap when it comes to the not only the acquisition, but the build out and the absorption of some of our acquisitions
mm-hmm.
and their AI models into what we're already doing.
Wow.
Now that becomes part of our security cloud strategy. And again, it ties back into those principles of simplifying, doing mm-hmm. more with less, mm-hmm. really having the system do the heavy lifting. And a great example of that as well is what we do from an extended detection and response point of view. You know, we've arrived at the point where we realize most organizations have got technical debt and we may not be the only security vendor in that organization. So how they secure their network and their networks and their users may be made up of 7, 8, 10, 12 different vendors. Now, what we've done from our extended detection and response is we've built out that artificial intelligence layer
right.
where we ingest all of these vendors and we sketch the picture of a certain vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Because your endpoint protection may observe a vulnerability different to how your firewall or your IPS observes the same vulnerability.
Right, of course.
Because it's only got one view on it.
Yes.
Now, what we're doing from that higher layer of extended detection and response is you can think of it as a paparazzi. I always like to use this example. You know, when somebody walks down or an incident happens and you have a crime, for instance, and you have 5 different camera angles,
mm-hmm.
you get a much clearer view of exactly what happened in that
yes.
instance than when you only have one angle.
Yes,
now,
absolutely.
Now, that's exactly how you can see this. Now,
yes. What
we do from an artificial intelligence point of view in that is that we also layer in external intelligence.
Yes.
And we layer in tactics and techniques. And raise to the top the high fidelity so that our users can ultimately respond quicker.
Yes.
Now, to go back to your question, in future, I think there's absolutely an ask, and not just by the industry and our users, but it is the way how technology is progressing. You want to ask the system, where do you see this vulnerability elsewhere?
Yes.
You know, I've become aware of this vulnerability. Can you look at where you where you see this. Mm. So I do expect our systems in future to have a similar capability.
Right, right. Well, we obviously work very closely with Cisco in a number of areas, but you know, we have our architecture internally securing client to cloud, and it's exactly that, right? It's fundamentally that. How do we secure the client to talk to the cloud and make sure the cloud's secure as well? The network's becoming more of a transport. We know more and more stuff's being encrypted, so the network is very important, but slowly becoming less the point to control and secure that data.
Well, I think you say it very well, but the network has always been important and mm-hmm. will always be, but we don't control all the networks.
That's right.
We don't control the Starbucks network.
That's right.
And therefore, we need to shift that control point to the endpoint.
Yes.
And yes, sitting with a endpoint estate mm-hmm. that's got 95% of the endpoints that's got a critical vulnerability is an absolute nightmare for any senior security leader, whether it's a chief information security officer or the head of security at a smaller organization. That's the kind of thing that keeps you up at night.
Yes. So to wrap up the conversation today, and I know we could talk for many more hours around all things cyber, and hopefully we get another chance to in the near future. But you know, what advice would you give you know, businesses looking for a way to enhance their cybersecurity posture, you know, especially in today's digital age and digital experience and everything being connected?
And it comes very on point as we are recording this in October, the Global Cyber Awareness Month. I think my advice for organizations will be that we have to start thinking differently mm-hmm. about our critical vulnerabilities. And now, most recently, I said at an event that don't patch. And there was this very, very awkward silence in the room because people didn't want to look at each other to realize that or double check whether that is what they heard. But understanding vulnerabilities, mm-hmm. how easy they are to exploit, mm-hmm. and ultimately whether they are actively being used in the wild is a total conversation changer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we have an opportunity through artificial intelligence to really look at what we know about a vulnerability in the wild, mm-hmm. whether we see it being exploited, whether there's a known exploit kit against it, and change the way how we address vulnerability. This mm-hmm. means organizations can patch what is critically necessary.
Yeah, perfect. Really appreciate it, Corinne. For people who are wanting to know more about Cisco's, you know, vision and strategy and all information around cybersecurity, obviously Cisco.com.
Yes.
There's lots of webinars available. Obviously, Oro is a partner. You know, we can help customers navigate that. We obviously provide SOC SIEM and other cyber services in conjunction with Cisco. There's obviously Cisco Live coming up, and many other ways to engage, you know, in the Cisco story. But really appreciate today. Bye, Donkey. thank you for your time and look forward to catching up again.
Thank you.
No worries. See you.